Hey, a big shout out to everyone. I want to welcome you to yet another dynamic and insightful segment of Live from D-Block. This is the podcast that offers exclusive coverage and commentary on the prison experience in America. Hey, it is an honor and pleasure to make your acquaintance. I'm grateful for the privilege of your time. I'm your host and patron, Ezekiel Thomas, and I want to thank you for tuning in. If you've been following our previous segments and you've been joining in on the conversation in those segments, then you know that we've been discussing the pros and the cons of criminal rehabilitation and the paradigm shift that's needed to make the current model much more effective. And in those conversations, what I've tried to do is be transparent, but also not to shy away from controversy or from the obligation to criticize failed tradition when need be. I wanted to come across as a maverick who would trailblaze the way to change and inspire you to do the same, inspire you to speak truth to power when human to hurt. In the name of rectifying a broken system that has inherent flaws, and flaws that have disabled it in many ways from being able to address complex thinking errors that drive criminal reasoning. And some of these thinking errors that I'm talking about that produce this criminal mindset are responsible for producing a subculture that has driven up the rate of crime and the growing tide of recidivism. So the highlight of that discussion, in my opinion, was the proposition that I made for considering an alternative model for producing a more holistic rehabilitation experience in the lives of criminals. And the model that I proposed would be more attitude-specific, okay, and focusing on things like character development and soft skills, and not so much aptitude-specific, and looking at things like academic and vocational competence alone as those sufficient mechanisms for this deprogramming of criminal thinking, right? Something more was needed to deprogram the criminal impulses that lead often to criminal thinking. That was the highlight. Now, today I want to continue in that vein of progressive dialogue, but I want to do it in a way that we focus on a different theme with a different emphasis. Instead of looking at the discrepancies in the system, today I want to talk about healing the contradictions in the person. And that's big. I want to talk about how to free people from the bondage of failed thinking. I want to talk about how to free people from a troubled mind and a poisoned emotional life. I want to talk about how to heal the mind from the discomfort of emotional hurt. I want to talk about these things. I want to talk about what leads to a damaged self-opinion and a broken view of possibility. And this is an important conversation because the path to prison is often overshadowed by the canopy of emotional hurt. The pain I'm describing not only drives criminal thinking that leads to imprisonment, but it's also driving the rate of suicide behind prison walls. It's driving the sadness that leads to addiction. It's driving the self-defeated thinking that produces an underperformed life. It's driving gang violence and the proliferation of gang culture inside society and in prisons. So healing the criminal mind, in my opinion, represents the apex of self-transformation because it involves a deep purging process of old ideas. Old ideas that tend to feed on the bitterness that makes civic rebellion feasible and attractive to many criminals. If there is no healing, folks, let me say this to you. If there is no healing of the criminal mind, then there will be no rehabilitation, plain and simple. But what is healing? In the context of personal redemption and self-transformation, what is healing really? I mean, a lot of the therapeutic disciplines and a lot of the contemporary empowerment doctrines that we hear, they mystify it. The definition for healing is mysterious to the point of not even being practical. So wellness, sanity, and peace of mind that damaged people often seek, it remains something elusive because the process of emotional purging that leads to a balanced life remains inaccessible. I believe that one of the signs of a healed mind is when the person that is damaged learned to live comfortably inside of their own skin without regret, without shame, when they no longer feel the desire to flee from their own minds or to make an exodus from their own life. Healing emotional pain is a universal challenge. It's not just something that's faced by incarcerated people. It's something that's faced by all people. It's not something exclusive to prisoners. It's not something exclusive to the episodic realities of prison culture. The one thing that we all share as a common denominator of the human experience is pain. Emotional pain specifically, I believe, is one of the things that unites us as human beings, irrespective of race, creed, or gender. And it is specifically this kind of pain and injury that cripples the mind with hatred and bitterness. So how do you restore balance to a mind disturbed by trauma? How do you find healing, redemption, for a life laid to waste by failure and self-defeat? How do you restore dignity to someone whose self-esteem has been marred by abuse, rejection, and neglect? How does healing work in this type of scenario? Well, to first heal, I believe the mind has to be understood. If you want to heal a person, and you want to heal a mind that is suffering from emotional disabilities, you have to first know what inside that thinking process or of the thinking process of that mind has been broken. Where inside the person's thinking has the injury to his thought process been internalized the most? This question is relevant because the healing of the mind is different in nature than the healing of the body. The body is injured by objects and things that are material in nature, but the mind is different. The mind is injured by ideas. Ideas that limit and restrict and marginalize how that mind visualizes possibility. A child who grows up in an abusive home has a very limited understanding or limited view of happiness. A prostitute may have a very restricted and limited view of love. When we are damaged emotionally, it means that our vision of possibility has been paralyzed and crippled by self-defeating beliefs. Beliefs that teach us to attack everything in our life that has value, meaning, and purpose. So another sign of a damaged mind is when a person attacks him or herself, when the mind attacks itself and sees this attack as natural. When we assault our self-esteem with negative self-talk that demeans our worth as people. Yeah, this is a sign of a mind crippled in a way that it sees merit and possibility inside the person as being very restricted and limited. So if this is emotional pain, meaning a paralyzed self-vision and a paralyzed self-concept injured by false ideas which encourage self-betrayal and self-defeat as normal, what then is healing? Isn't that the million-dollar question? What then is healing? How does healing work? What is it? How does it function in the context of self-rehabilitation and self-reform? Well, I can say this. Healing is an extraordinary process of expanding our vision of possibility and our vision of self-merit by first expanding our definition of what it even means to be a human being and what it means to be successful and what it means to be happy. Many damaged people are suffering from the burden of an isolated worldview that disables their mind from seeing possibility in adversity and seeing opportunity in discomfort. Listen, to heal a damaged mind like the mind of a criminal or the mind of a troubled person who sees failure as equal with possibility will require changing the basic worldview of that person and how that person sees the world relational to him or herself. That's right. Healing the criminal mind starts with liberating the mind. It's a liberation process that frees the life vision of that person from some paralyzing self-view, from fears, from doubts, and from false assumptions that restrict mental activity only to the deliberations of sadness, self-pity, and hopelessness. So to heal the mind, you have to change the narrative that determines that mind's vision. You have to change the story that mind tells itself, which will change the lens of interpretation through which that life is viewed. We can't change our memories, but we can change how we understand the things that we remember. To extrapolate a different perception of the world from our experience requires introducing a frame of reference that broadens our view of possibility, that broadens our view of value, that broadens our view of meaning in those experiences that we sometimes think are meaningless. So for the criminal, this means a repudiation of the thinking errors that often promote victimization of others. How? By supplanting old beliefs with new values that expand the way we see society, social justice, and opportunity. So this has been what you can call healing demystified. This is my segment, right? Healing demystified. And this can inform our future models for criminal rehabilitation by placing an emphasis on the social IQ of the criminal. Expanding that person's worldview as an item that's critical to challenging, the often very limited criminal thinking process that sees things in a very marginalized way. Now, in our next segment, we would delve deeper into this subject. I owe you that. And we would endeavor to make transparent more of those hidden principles and those hidden nuances that are vital to successful emotional healing. It's been a pleasure to engage this discussion with you. And as always, I'm grateful for the privilege of your time. I encourage you on this journey of life to stay positive, to stay focused, and above all, to stay healed. Oh, yeah. Oh,